So Luke chapter 14, and verse 25 is where we'll start reading tonight. And if you find any place, I'd ask you to stand just for a moment. This is a passage we looked at before, but we're going to look at it in a little different light tonight. I think it'll be helpful in this different light. Every time you open the Word of God, it's always helpful when you submit to it. But in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25, notice what the Word of God says here. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if ye have salt, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now reading verse is number 29 and 30 again. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. I'm going to preach a message tonight called Unfinished Works of God. Unfinished Works of God. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. I pray you'll use this message so that the work that has begun in every single heart here tonight will be finished to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. For many passages, of course, I make reference to this and one and on different occasions just because of the magnitude of its importance as far as discipleship, how that we, of course, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your goal, well, that is part of being a disciple. You would want to be a disciple. But we just look at some things that he talks about here. After some certain decisions that are made, a person can find himself in a situation that, notice in verse 29, that after he had laid the foundation. See, there's nothing wrong with the foundation, but he is not able to finish it. And I believe there are many Christians all over the world, I should say believers or followers in Jesus Christ, that have begun with the right foundation. They've had direction, had discernment from God, but all of a sudden they find themselves in a situation that the work that God started is unfinished. And it stagnates, it just kind of stays there, and it gets to a place, and it just does not go any further. And what happens is, there are monks saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And notice what happens here, they actually place a reference on the person that they were not able to finish, where in reality, every real work of God is not that person's own anyway. It belongs to God. And that's another confidence regarding the thing that God has called us to do. And God would have each of us tonight that any work that he's led you and I to do, he'd like to be finished. Remember what Paul said? Well, part of Paul's testimony, remember what he said? He said, I have what? What did he say about his course? Anybody know? Pardon me? He finished it. He finished it. I have finished my course. I kept the faith. And God would have us walk in those same steps tonight. So, if you're taking notes, first thing we notice, number one, is a promise regarding God's work. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. We'll be back to Luke 14 in just a little while. And the promise regarding God's work. In Philippians chapter 1, notice what the Word of God says here regarding work. So often, so many things we attempt to do for God, we get sidetracked. And I want you to see, first of all, there's a promise regarding the work that God has called you not to do. And because God would have not to be finished so that you're not mocked, And so that God is not mocked. I know people sometimes that start with a foundation and then they go off and the work of God stops and people mock them. Mostly it's unbelievers, maybe mock their testimony, maybe mock what God's doing in their life. They became all, because they built with a foundation, say God can do anything and trusting in and we're really strong going forward, and all of a sudden there's those that mock them now because their life is just boom and neutral. And God does not have this be, but let's see a promise regarding God's word. Philippians 1 and verse 3, as he speaks to Philippians here, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, the good news is, if your work is not finished tonight, God's still performing the work. And he's trying to use services like this to get the work back headed, being built on the foundation. He's trying to help you because, thank God for the fact, the Bible said we judge nothing before the time. And that the end of the thing is better than the beginning thereof. And so everybody in this room tonight, your life is in perfect situation for the work that God has called you to do to be finished. I mean, so that's good news. That's a great promise regarding the word. Because Satan would have, see, Satan always, you know, even if already you know that God has spoken by certain things, you started certain things that you know were from God, and you haven't finished them, Satan would have you start sitting and kind of sinking in your seat. Oh man, I failed again. No. God's not finished. He's not finished because he'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the work's not finished. So even though you may be off track, you're still on course because God's not finished. And so God's trying to encourage you tonight to build, let him build again those things that get you back going forward in the work that he's called you to do so it can be finished when the day of Jesus Christ comes. Now, that's the promise regarding the work. Back to a few books in the Bible, Book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, the place of God's work. The place of God's work. This is where we really need to, this is why a personal relationship with God is so critical. It's so vitally important. Because the place of God's work is within you. You know, so often we're going down to help Brother Watt physically on some projects from the building, but even I was talking on the phone, he said, I know God doesn't care anything about the building, but he's building our people through this, some of the things we're doing, and he was just excited that we just fellowship about the Lord on the phone, and he mentioned the building very briefly, but he began to talk about the people, and then he spoke and he said, I know you're coming up physically, but I want you to come spiritually help the people, you know. He said, what's your preach while you're here? I said, no fine say, brother. So he's gonna interpret for me, but the place of God's word, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, notice what it says here. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? He's speaking regarding divisions that they have. You know, and so, we've made reference to the verse several times. One of the greatest divisions is that we find our strength in the people we're surrounded by. Because one said, well, since I'm with Paul, I'm in pretty good shape. He said, well, I'm with Apollos. I'm in better shape. Not necessarily. Some say I'm an independent Baptist. So I'm in the best shape of all. Some say I'm with whatever group. And so I'm in best shape of all. Not so. Divisions. Are you not carnal? Don't carnal people find their identity based on the people that they're around? Instead of the identity in the person of Jesus Christ? I mean, what is the identity? What is the strength of what you do? You know? That's what so many people my age and even older have. That's what men go through with midlife crisis. Because their identity is not in Jesus Christ. Notice what he said in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers. They're just servants by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. So God gave servants to every man to believe. So Apostle Paul doesn't mean anything. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now here in verse 7, we see another division among people. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither that he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. See, carnally speaking, there is a division about what work for God that we do individually is the most noteworthy. Of course, the person that planted says, hey, I'm something because I plant. The person that watered says, hey, I'm something because I water. That'd be like me saying, well, since I preach, hey, I've got it going on. I'm the most valuable one because I said I preach. No. Everybody is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not anything. And neither you are anything. We're all, because verse 80 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth, notice this, are one. If we're serving properly, we're on the same mission, the same goal, and so we're one. So not one is any more important than the other. Notice what it says here, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Though our labors may be distinctly different in one way, they are all for the one purpose, and we both get our reward based on how we serve. So just because my service is in a place that has me more visible in front of people, your service to God may not have you as visible, but you still get your own reward. And possibly a greater reward. Because though my service is visible, you may get a greater reward because you may be more faithful in your invisible service that nobody ever sees except with you and God. But see, carnally speaking, we tend to look for things that are visible, and we think, well, since this was planted, that's the ministry, the planting. Oh, well, once, no, that's the watering. No, that's the ministry. No, the ministry is we all serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice what it says here, reading further. It says, for we are laborers together with God. Look at verse 9. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You're the work of God. The place of God's work is you. It's me. That's the work. You know, that's God help us from trying to serve the Lord and to be good servants of God without people. That's why churches don't grow sometimes, because it's just we don't care about people, you know. Because, see, I'm the work, and you're the work, and everybody I run into, they're the work. Because God made them. They're God's husband. They're God's building, you know. And I say sometimes, it's not always the case, but I'm just saying that's one of the hindrances, because we forget that we're not trying to fill a location. We're trying to build individual lives. And the people that God died for through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're the place of work. And so this keeps the emphasis on what God is trying to do, that God must purge us and work in us. And the confidence is the place, God working in us to conform us in the image of His Son. Now in Luke chapter 14, we were there just for a few moments. We look at the problem regarding God's work. We're going to have to spend a lot of time here because I know I've preached the entire message on this passage. But in Luke chapter 14, the problem regarding God's work. Now, he speaks of many things here about discipleship. And he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, I'm looking at verse 26, Luke chapter 14, and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And then he said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, sits not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Now, and you can say many different things, and you know, I think we've looked in detail about what it really means to hate not father and mother and all these different things. But you know the most important thing here, the problem regarding God's work, God is causing us to look at some things and for us to ask ourselves the question, are we fully committed to Him? So the really thing is just partial commitment. That's the problem regarding the work, is partial commitment. Because basically it comes down to this. If you're being led of God, you have a decision. Are you going to honor the Lord, or are you going to honor your Father? What should you choose? Yeah, honor the Lord. Anybody agree with a 9-year-old? Is that right?
So if you're going to have a covenant, you honor your mother, you honor the Lord, what should your decision be? Everybody, if you're weakness, speak up. All right. I think we're saying it right. Well, if you're going to honor your wife, or you honor the Lord, what's the decision going to be? And so everything is breaking down to you. Honor your children, or you're going to honor the Lord. What's the decision going to be? Honor the brethren. Are we going to honor one another, or are we going to honor the Lord? What should the decision be? Honor the Lord, right, or sisters, and yay. Or am I going to honor my own life, or am I going to honor the Lord? And honor the Lord. So, why are you so quiet? Are these hard? Are these difficult questions? Is it just convicting? You're afraid to say it out loud?
That's the truth.
is that what it is? Or maybe it's just, well, you know, if I say it, I might be more accountable to it. I'm going to say it out loud, you know. Why should we be afraid to be vocal about the truth? Amen? So we want to make sure here, and because you don't count the cost. In preparation of day's time. Now you think about it. Now we just said something. Now where is your work of God right now? Okay, we spoke to the beginning. Is your work going forward? Or is there perhaps one of these categories here that you've honored before you honor the Lord? And that's why you feel like right now, or the reality is, your work's not going forward. Your work's not being built. Because we're God's building. To build means to increase and strengthen. And so we want to look at these things, we want to be honest with ourselves, and say, is my life really being built? Am I being built up in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I honoring myself? Or am I honoring my father, my mother, my wife, my children, my brethren, my sister, my own life? Most way we honor our own life is the cares of this life. Because we say, let's seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But we live to pay this bill, to take care of this responsibility, take care of this obligation, take care of this. And then what happens is now, and it's not, it doesn't seem ungodly to do that, but at the same time, if we are honest with our own relationship with God, we feel ourselves not being built, we feel ourselves drifting away from God, but yet there's no compulsion to make a difference. You know, at the men's fellowship yesterday, Pastor Wee preached a tremendous message about just being godly men. And he read a quote by, I think William Borden was the guy's name, and he said, apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose in this life? Apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose in this life? That's a good sobering thought, isn't it? Now let's break it down the way, let's break it down where we can all be helped. Apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose in this day? That would change the way we do something, wouldn't it? Needs to help concentrate, Micah. A few people being distracted by whatever you're doing. So, apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose in this day? Hey, apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose in this church? Apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose in this relationship? Apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose at this job? Because we're saying about God being true, didn't God give the jobs? And apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose in this family? Didn't God put you in your own several families? Apart from faith in Christ, what is my purpose in anything? And so, as followers of Jesus Christ, we've got to really look at these things, and so we can be a disciple. Again, a disciple is a learner, a scholar, one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another. And God would have us to be disciples. He wants us to be disciples, and He wants to build us up. Remember, He said that we should always be abounding in the work of the Lord. That's God's desire for you and desire for me. But so often, the foundation's good. Hey, for another foundation, no man lay, which you lay, which is Jesus Christ. We know Jesus is the Savior. We know He's the Son of God. We know He died and was buried and was rose again. And if we're saved, we know a time and a place. We turn from sin, trust about the Christ, foundation's secure. But what happened to the building? Because each step we took for God, we weren't really thinking that there could possibly be a time when my father might not be headed the same direction as God's heading. There could possibly be a time that my mother might not be headed the same direction that God is heading. There could possibly be a time that my wife is not heading the same direction that God is heading. There could possibly be a time that my children, my brethren, and let's just be real honest, my own life might not be headed the same direction that God is heading. And so then I intended to build. I intended to let God do it, but all of a sudden I was not really, what were you thinking about this? And all of a sudden, wow, I don't want to pay the price. I know it was really going to cost me. I know I surrendered my life to Christ, but I didn't realize this. Now, and this what brings into being something that happens, and I call this next one the pursuit of good works. The pursuit of good works. Because there's God's work, then there's good works. Because notice what in verse 34 he says, let's read verse 31, and what king going to make war against another king, says not now first, and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while others yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. And that's the mistake we make. Because, let me ask you a question. Can you, if you're a follower of Christ tonight, can you really have a life that's joyful and pleasing in the sight of God if you have to make a decision to put God first if your father's headed a direction other than the way God wants to go? Because you're going to war against Satan now, mind you. You're not going against war. Because see, the great commandment will keep you and I from doing anything that's wrong against our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our brethren. Because we love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And God loved these people he's speaking about here so much he gave his own blood for them. And then he said the second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. So not to anything that's going to cause us to harm or treating one improperly, but there'll be times that someone's headed a direction that's not God's direction, and we have to, for the glory of God, and also for the sake of those people, count the cost. And sit down and say, you know what, I'm able to go forward even if none of these other people are going the direction of God. Because if you don't make that decision, then what happens is you go try to make a way of peace. So how can we merge these two together? How can we try to merge their way and God's way instead of being headed toward the way and trying to get others to come with us? That's why there's a lack of witnessing today. Because instead of a firm commitment to the way, because the work of God is partially stagnated, there's no desire to bring someone with you to the way. There's a desire to merge into their way. And then both are off track with God. And at some point or another, someone begins to mock. Well, what happened to your sold-out Christian life? What happened to when you said, but God is first? And that God didn't desire that. God wants to keep you going forward. But there again, if you've been mocked, praise God, the work's not finished. God, because the day of Jesus Christ has not come yet, so God says, I'm talking to you because I believe that through me, you can finish the work, and the work can be finished. Amen. That's good news, amen. Thank God for that. Now, the pursuit of good works, now he says here, salt is good, but the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? The salt is good. There's a good thing to be done, but if it lost its savor, but if it lost that agent that really gives it power, I've heard it said about salt that, you know, salt never loses its chemical properties, but it does change something. I mean, it can be polluted, you know. Wherewith shall be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 7 just for a moment. I want to look at something here. We read this verse, I think, a couple weeks ago. See, what happens is, and this is what I believe is happening whole scale in religion, and this is something you can pray about, you can draw your own conclusion, is, now, if I'm preaching this passage correctly, that means the building that God wants to do in my life will not take place if I have not forsaken all that I have. Is that biblically accurate? Colin, what are you preaching, anybody? So, what do you think, Mark? Is that biblically accurate? Okay. What do you think, anybody? You think, Alexis, is that biblically accurate? Samuel, you think it's biblically accurate? Okay. Larry, you? Okay. All right, so what happens is, so the work that God really is trying to do in me will not take place unless I forsake all that I have. So since this work is stagnated, because maybe I didn't count the cost, and there's part of me that's not really willing to forsake all that I have, so I have to find something that I can complete to fill that emptiness or that void for what God really is trying to do in me. And this is how we have a lot of people that are busy in the name of God, but not busy really doing, they're busy doing good works, but not busy doing the work that God has called them to do. I dealt with people through the years. So I want to do this minute. I think of a man that used to be in my church in the United States, and he always had got this ministry. He's a guy called me to this ministry, and I kept saying that all the time, but he wouldn't do the things that would even qualify anybody to be in the ministry. He's so hooked on what he wanted to do, but he would not forsake all that he had. Now, in Matthew 7, it speaks to us something here, and we read it before. I want you to notice somebody different today. I trust. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? See, the strength of the relationship is the wonderful works they've been doing. Now, we read under the promise, okay, who's performing the work? Unto him. Now unto him that is able. He that, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So the confidence is in the one that began the work in you. Not what you're doing, but the one that began the work. So it's really just a continual yielding to the will, because that's what he says here, he that did the will of my Father. So it's a yielding to the will of the Father, and then the work of God is done. And you yield by saying, though, at this particular time, my Father might not be doing the will of God, I'm going to do the will of God anyway. Or whatever, you just go down that list. That's the first one on the list. So we'll stay with that one. I'm going to yield and do the will of God anyway. And so, but here's a group of people. They're in the name of God, doing many wonderful works, doing many good things. Now, and because, you know, think about it, and they're professing believers all over this world that are accomplishing and getting many good things done. Hey, they're not in prisons. They're not off-guard to society. They're getting many good things done, but what about the work that God called them to that he wants them to finish? That's the work. That's the work that Paul could say, I finished my course. We have kept the faith. See, and so the pursuit of good works, many times is a counterfeit. We find some counterfeit thing to do. Because there's a lot of good things that I can do, earthly speaking, to make me feel good, or make me feel like I've accomplished something in the name of God, when it does not, when it's not really the work that God's called me to. Now, hold your place here. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Actually, you can let that passage go, actually. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, give you a little insight on, well, what is the work? What is the work? Well, God is so good, God generally answers our questions if we take time to let him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Since we want to follow the right work, actually, we probably will go back to Matthew in a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 5
in verse number 17, familiar passage of Scripture. It's funny how it's funny how we quote passages. It's good to quote all of them, you know. But I realize I'm quoting this passage, and I rarely quote the last part of verse 18. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, so that's the whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And there again, back to any man, notice what we have, work. And have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So the work, if you're in Christ, the work, you've been called to the work of reconciliation. That means to be in the go-between to help reconcile people to God. To bring people from a state of sin and separation from God to bring them to God. To reconcile, that's why we witness. That's what our church is here for. Because, now, if we believe the Bible here and it says that, hey, if we're in Christ, we're a new creature. Hey, if you were lost and never had any old things that hurt your life, you're glad for that verse. And behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. You don't mind serving God, but you don't mind doing the work of God, but here's the ministry. Here's your calling. Here's the work that God, the will of God, had given to us, the ministry of reconciliation. To it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So we're not here to condemn the world. Because God could have came and he could have imputed the trespasses unto them, but he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's given us the word that can bring people back to God. That's our work. That's our ministry. And that's the work that he wants us to be involved in. That's the reality of what we do. And if you look around Toronto, the work is not finished. There are still many more people that need to be brought to Jesus Christ. There's co-workers that you've never given the gospel to. There's people that you know, common people that you walk with, acquaintances that you talk on a regular basis, to anything and everything except with God. And many of them you haven't even prayed for a door of opportunity. Why? Because the work of God's not finished. And there again, that's not under condemnation. That's unto God speaking to you so that you can finish the work that he's called you to do. He's called you to finish the ministry of reconciliation. He wants you to walk in that because that's the only fulfilling thing that you have. Because everything else, now you do some good works. You can do some things. You can accomplish some things in this world that will make people say, wow, that was good, you know. I was telling somebody today, it's good to listen to yourself talk. I've listened to myself talk, even through preaching. Some of the things that I pride myself in, that I accomplished in the world. One of the great, it's great to have children, and sometimes I listen to the things that I've been proud that I've accomplished and achieved in the world. And I may not walk smugly, but I listen to myself talk in the way that I talked about those things. Didn't have anything to do with God, but there was some pride that I actually did that, and it was a vain thing. I mean, it may not have been illegal. It may not have been even against morality, but it's not anything of any substance that's going to last eternity. Even at best, and it really would even make the mark of wood, hay, and stubble to be burned up. But what I'm here for now, just as he made me a new creature, the same God that made me new gave me the ministry of reconciliation. And there again, that's any man. That's unto any person, you might say, that's in Christ has the word reconciliation. That's your family that's a different religion than what the Bible teaches. That's your co-workers that are anti-God, that may be anti-Christ. That's your neighbors, that you know Christ might ruin a good friendship, but you lovingly preach Christ to them anyway. You look for that door of opportunity. Because you got the word of reconciliation. You got the word that makes a difference. You've got the word that can rescue them and bring them from darkness to light. And God puts you in that situation to do that. And He wants to finish that work that begun in you. If you have a foundation, if you have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't, first take all that you have. Then you'll always be trying to find something to preoccupy your time with.
Let me ask you. I mean, if you're a child of God, really, tonight, let's just be honest, and myself included. All these millions of lost. Let's forget about all the names of lost people. Let's just think about the people that you personally know. That you know are not saved. Do you think that keep you pretty busy just trying to reach them or somebody, neighbor or something like that? But take a small area around, a small pole, you know? And yet, my life, many times, I find myself looking for something to do to fill my time with. And the reality is, I find some of my days, I've not forsaken all that I have. Because there's part of me that sometimes wants my own life also. And in those days, guess what? If this represents the ministry of reconciliation, I take the ministry, well, I'm going to set this aside while I go do something that I really want to do. And you know what I find out? It's kind of like playing sports, you know. I find out that sometimes if you set something on the shelf for a while, it's not as easy. Like I found out, especially getting older, it's not as easy for me to just pick back up and play like I used to play. Or play like if the abilities I like to play. And what we find out is that we may set that thing here, but I'm going to tell you, once we get over here and do what we want to do, man, it seems like it's a lot farther to get back to where it was and pick it back up. Because we didn't really think we set it that far from us. It didn't seem like, you know, it's not like I didn't have any desire to turn my back on God or anything, but I just thought I'd set it down just a moment for me, for my own life, and all of a sudden it just... And my life's pretty good right now. I'm feeling pretty good about this. And in fact, I'm doing a good thing now. And people like me for the good thing I'm doing now. I remember the look that person had on my face last time I tried to hand them a tract or a flyer. I'm just being me. And people are praising me for being me. Oh, you're such this, you're such that, you're wonderful. And if I go pick that up again, you radical whatever. And all of a sudden, it just seems kind of hard to get back to it. And to God in His grace, give us a message like we had tonight. I said, do you remember what you're here for? Do you remember here for the ministry of reconciliation? This is, the new, in fact, the new creature I made you into be. If you really give yourself into that, that'll be the greatest strength of your life. It'll empower your life. It'll fuel your life. It'll fuel your spiritual life. I guarantee you, if you have trouble in devotional life with God, pick up the ministry of reconciliation, and you'll pray more than you've ever prayed in your life. Because you know, guess what? You know, when my ministry, y'all mind if I tell the truth? I'm preaching. That's still good to do, Mark. Okay. Hey, when my ministry was just preaching, you know, guess what? I can come here and I can preach a good Bible message and not be concerned about reconciliation at all. I can say, I deliver the truth. Hey, Brother David, he knows how well all those points were alliterated. And wasn't that impressive to have all those different letters in line? And didn't it sound right that it was doctrinally accurate and all these different things? I can do all those things. I can do that and not be concerned about the ministry of reconciliation at all. In fact, I can do that. I can prepare a message and not even pray. But my heart is right. Now look how there's people here that, I mean, I know they want to serve God. There's some that are lost, and some are distant from God, and you just see the emptiness in their eyes when you talk to them. There's something causes me in the middle of the night to wake up when other people are sleeping and just go drive around the city and just pray and call out the people's names before God and say, God, would you make this service to one? I don't have to have a journal or something in my book that makes me get up and say, time to pray. This is just the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people unto God and keeping them connected to God drives me to my knees. So God, could you please, Lord, they have some salt, but it's so intermingled with everything.
I said, that's why. I said that the ministry of reconciliation keeps us where we need to be. Because, see, the ministry of reconciliation means, then that was a nice sermon, that's not good enough. The fruit of the love, the joy, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance, the faith. That's the only thing that's good enough. Because when the fruit is there, that means the root is there. And when the root is right, that means the relationship is right. Last thing, actually, let's read that part of Matthew. Then we'll go for the last thing very quickly tonight. Matthew 7, I just want to finish reading that thought there. But it really talked about Matthew 7. It says, and therefore whosoever, verse 24, Matthew 7. He said, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, heareth the sayings of mine. See, it's not just any good work, but to hear the sayings and do the sayings. I will liken him to a wise man. Notice this word here, which built. Remember, ye are God's husbandry, you're God's building. God wants the building to finish. Which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended. Thank God for the rain today, but the rain can destroy things. And the floods came. And the winds blew. And beat upon the house, and it fell not. So when you hear the sayings, you do the sayings, and you're going forward in the right work, your work won't fall. Why? For it's founded upon the rock. But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now you could be doing something else in the name of the Lord, like we read about the people here. Have we not have in thy name done many wonderful works? Notice this person, to be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Same situation, same circumstances. Rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Why is it that we see professing Christians and we see lost people go through the exact same situations and handle them the exact same way? Because of lack of hearing the sayings and doing them. Last thing as we finish up in Luke chapter 14. The people that came to work. The people that came to work. They said all these things, and I remind you, when he preached this, he spoke to a multitude of people. He's trying to purify their commitment to God. Yeah, we don't have a multitude of people here tonight, but I do believe we have a people that can make a multitude of difference. I mean, that's what I believe. And we have a people that can make a difference in the multitude. Now, the people that came to work. Now he preached his whole message, and finally, verse 35, he says, just the last part of the verse, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And those are the people that came to work. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They spoke to the multitudes. But the only ones that came to work that were going to go any further. Now he let them know. Hey, if you don't hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brethren, your sisters, and your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Hey, if you don't bear your cross and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. Hey, in verse 33, if you don't forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. But then, who will hear it? He said, he that hears the ear to let him hear, then drew near. The one said, I'll take that message and walk and run with it. That's for me, the publicans and the sinners. The people that will be helped tonight are the ones that said, the Holy Spirit called my number tonight. That's me. I'm a sinner. But I'm going. Lord, I want you to finish the work that began. I accept the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going forward. But see, the religious ones, if you see, in verse 2, the Pharisee and the scribe, they murmured. saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees and scribes, they murmured and ignored the message. But see, the sinners that knew they were sinners said, so that's my problem. That's why it just seemed like God's not building anything in my life. Not forsaking all that I have. There's people that are just, that have a higher priority in my life than God has. But the publicans and the sinners, so you know what? There's nothing good in me anyway. Why would I want my own life when I can have Christ? Yes, Lord, I'm in. They went forward and drew near. As if to say, what's the next step, Father? I wonder tonight, is anyone in that case that after hearing the message would take the step to draw nearer to God and say, what's the next step, Father? Or would there just be murmurs and say, oh, my life again. Forsake all again. But the good news is, God called for this message because He's got a work that He wants to finish in every single one of them. And He said, it's not over yet. He said, the day of the Lord's not come. So I believe that He said, you know what, there's going to be assembly at the First International Baptist Church tonight. And there's some people in that service that I began to work in. And I believe they can still make a difference in the multitude. So, in fact, even the guy that's leading them is pretty hopeless, if you really think about it, earthly speaking. But I'm going to give him a message, and maybe he'll listen to me this time. And just be faithful. And preach the word. And I believe that though he's nothing, I believe that the word that I'll give him, if they'll hear it, all of them can finish the work. In fact, I will be, let me say biblically, if they'll hear it, I will perform the work in them. And I will finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. I will simply say this, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the hope that can only be found through Jesus Christ. And oh Lord, I'm so thankful that you favored our church to where, although you know there's works in here that are not being finished, that are not even going forward, but you didn't give up on us. Oh, thank you so much, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would prick the hearts of those that know you first, and they would say, Lord, I want you to finish the work in me. Here's everything. Here's the part of me I've been holding on to. Lord, here's the people that I've been putting ahead of you. But here it is. I'm yours. And Lord, I pray tonight that those that don't know you would finally just lay themselves and give the life to you. All that said, Lord, thy perfect will be done. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all these things.